Today's daf is in Masechet Benachot. It's daf Lamed Zayin, and we are holding on Lamed Vav Amud Beit. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna, about quarter of the way up. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna, Chayav Adam L'Mashmesh B'Tefillin B'Chol Sha'ah, Kavachomer Mitzitz. A person should always be touching his tefillin so that he should remember. We'll just review it, okay? So it's a Kavachomer from the Tzitz, just like the Tzitz. The Torah is Mechayv, and the Tzitz only has one Shem Hashem. So, Matzitz, She'in Bo Ela Azkara Achat. Nonetheless, Amra Torah, Hayal Mitzchot Tamid. Tamid meaning, and this is a repetitive Hayal Mitzchot, because it says that it's meant to be put on the Meitzah. And therefore, the Tamid must mean, Shalot Asiyach Da'atum Imenu, he cannot stop thinking about it. Tefillin She'ish Ben Azkarot Harbei, Alachat Kama V'Kama, Kol Shekein the Tefillin. Even though, obviously, in terms of the Kiddusha, I mean, anybody can wear the Tefillin, only Kohen Gadol wears the Tzitz, and so on. But in terms of the din of the Shemot, this is still true. And the truth, as the Rambam points out, is that every single Tefillah, both the Shoyad and the Shorosh, has 21 separate Shemot, which together equal the Shem ben Arbaim Rishtaim Otiyot, is a remez to. There's also a beautiful Meshe Chochmo says that the 21 Shemot is the equivalent of the Ekyeh, Asher Ekyeh. So each one is connected one of the Tefillin, which is beautiful because the Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh has been told, as Rashi says to Moshe Rabbeinu, about the Seder of the Galut. As I've been with them in this Galut, and Lamaisa, the hidden nature of the Tefillin, which is the Kesher Shel Tefillin, the Tun Sheyad, which is hidden to everybody else, versus the Tefillin Shel Rosh, two different elements of Anhaga. He compares it to the words to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, I mean, that's very kosher to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, comes now to be the oat, the actual, very nice. Tana Rabbanan, Yadecha zo smol. When the Torah says that you're supposed to put the tefillin on your right hand, so that's got to mean the right hand, on your hand, it's got to mean the left hand. Yeah, it says who? Tomer smol. In Eliyamin, where do you get the idea that it means dafka on the left hand? Talmud Lamar, Af Yadi Yastar. Take a look at this. My hand. Okay, now, Yadi doesn't say right or left. Okay, you're going to assume, as you're saying here, that my hand, Stam, means the right hand. And yet, the Pasuk continues on to say, my hand has founded the earth, the Yemini, and my right hand, Tivcha Shamayim. Now, obviously, that meant that the Stam Yad was not Yemini. If otherwise I need to, look, this is a pattern. It's not just one time. We have also the same thing by Yael. Yada liyated tishlachna, stretched out her hand to grab the tent peg. V'yemina lahalmot ameli. So she used her right hand to smash it into his head, her left hand to grab it. So again, the yad is the yad small. It's clear from the context. We find the same thing in the Bakasha of David HaMelech. Lama tashiv yadcha v'yeminecha mikerev chekcha kaleh. So there too, the yad stam is not yeminecha. So that means that if the Torah says to put it on yadcha, yadcha is not yeminecha, it's smolcha. Rabbi Yossi Achorim Omer, that's not true. Matsinu yamin shenikra yad. There certainly is a case where the right hand is called hand. Shenemar vayar Yosef ki yashit aviv yad yemino. Yosef saw that his fathers put his right hand on the wrong head. He had switched his hands. The idah, whereas the Tanakhama says, what kind of rye is that? That's because it says yad yamino. We're asking for yad stam. So yad yamino ikre, but yad stam alo ikre. Now lamaisa, this is not as simple as it looks, because the continuation of the pasuk, of course, keeps referring to yadav or yad aviv. So it's moch Yosef et yad as a yad yamino. But obviously, the comeback to that would be once it's identified which hand, then it can refer back to that hand as an antecedent. So that doesn't prove that stam yad would not be dafki yamin.
In the same pasuk or just in?
No, but in the same story. It wouldn't matter. Rabbi Natan Omer, Enot Sorit. Hareu Omer. Look, you don't need any of this business of analyzing which hand. Does it not say, Ukshartam la'ot ayadecha, v'hayu l'totafot bein inecha? Okay, so now. The kshartam uchtaftam al mezuzot betecha. Now, which hand do you use for ketiva? Now, this is very important because it comes to define what is your right hand as a righty. In other words,
the correct hand?
Suppose someone does writing with his right hand, but does ball playing with his left hand. Right, he could throw better with his left and write better with his right. Now, if you learn it out from the Kshira Ketiva relationship, and that Ketiva is defined just like Ketivas B'yamin, we're darshaning here, so then the Kshira of your tefillin need to be with your right hand, and if you're tying your tefillin with your right hand, obviously you're not tying it on your right hand, you're tying it on your left hand. So Kivan the Kshira B'yamin, Hanacha is B'smol. According to this, we would be very sensitive to where you write. This is indeed a machloket aposkim. But here in the Gemara, it's a machloket on the Makor. By the way, just as an aside, who is Rabbi Yossi HaChorim? Now, this is part of Barnea's neighborhood. He often travels to a place called Chorim. But actually, that's not what it means, according to Rashi. A Chorim, you'll remember, a Charum is someone who has a recessed bridge on his nose, which is a mum for the kahuna. And because of that, they would call him, says Rashi, a Chorim, because that's how he was. Which does, why would you call somebody... it's very not nice.
It's from regular Rebbe.
It's a Lashon Gnai. Why would we use a Lashon Gnai? That doesn't make sense. This does. Therefore, he suggests that he actually comes from Barnea's neighborhood. Not that the nose was sunken. But there's a beautiful pshat by the Seder Adera. Beautiful pshat. If you take a look in Bechereis, it's Rabbi Yossi who paskins that a charum, he explains what a charum is, that a charum is a pagam, is a mum. So they called him Rabbi Yossi, the guy was machadish, the din of charum that nobody knew, he's the chorem. Not that he had one, but he's the Baal HaShmua of what a charum is. Okay. In any event, getting back to the raya. So we had... So that puts both in together. Okay, so far that means we've got one limud from the Lashon of Yad, but Yad itself means Yamin, and we have the other Raya, which is what Rabbi Yossi Lechora would have to hold up, which is Rabbi Natan from the Ksharteh Muchtavtem, and therefore the Hanacha, which is done by the Yad, that's Kosheret, has to be the small. And according to this, how would Rabbi Yossi HaChorim know it? He would know it from the same place. Rav Ashi Amar, no, there's actually a third mikor. Rav Ashi Amar, the Torah writes very strange spelling in the pasuk Vaya Lo'ot Al Yadcha L'Totafot Beninecha. It writes Yadcha with a hey at the end. And the hey stresses the femininity of that hand, which means that it is Keha. It's the one that is less sholetet. Less sholetet, as we're in the pre-feminist days, less sholetet would be your left hand, which isn't going to boss. Yeah, I'm saying it's the old days, where the boss of the house wasn't the female. So then it was the kehei. Well, nowadays, of course, according to this, you'd have to put your tefillin on your right hand. Now, that would be a problem.
Have your wife put it on my hand.
Oh, yeah, right. There you go.
I put my tefillin
on my right hand. Yeah, the
chakti. That's
our
way. Behei. Kaheh. So kaheh means weakened. Omerle, Rebabla, Ravashi. Maybe it's Yadcha Shebekoach. Barsh and Hey, because Hey and Chet are interchangeable. I'm like, come on, they're interchangeable. I mean, obviously, it's not written with a Chet. Makes more sense to keep it the way it is. So it would be in your left hand. The truth is, there is a Tana that actually dashes it that way. Kitanoi. Yadcha. It's very, very clear that that pasuk is coming to tell you something strange. But what strange thing? So one man, the Omer, says, Yadcha. Tanakama says, Yadcha Behe. That means that it's your weaker hand, and therefore it's your left hand. But Acherim Omrim, Yadcha Behe means a weakened hand because of injury. That's the point. So in other words, it is an amputated hand or partially amputated hand. And there it's coming to tell me that nonetheless, if there is that part of the hand that's still left as a stump, that you can, your arm is left, that we don't consider that to be a non-arm. In other words, a damaged arm is still considered to be an arm that you should put your tefillin on. even though you can't use it the way a person would normally use an arm, but there's enough left to put tefillin on. Put the tefillin on. Ein lo zeroa, if he has no arm at all, so then he's potter min ha-tefillin. Acherim omrim yadcha l'rabot et hagidan. Now, Tosus says this is not a machlokas. In other words, there is no chiyuv to reverse hands and not put it onto the right hand. But I say hand because Torah uses hand. Obviously, I don't mean literally hand, but we're going to get to that issue in a moment. So there's two different dinim over here. L'rabot tagidim would be that if there is a stump, put it on the stump. Tana Rabbanan iterser, a lefty, is meniach tefillin biyamino, puts his tefillin on with his right hand, on his right hand, which is the equivalent of his left hand, because it's yado the kehap. Really? Vatani meniach b'smalo? The Brita says he still puts it on his left hand, and I don't mean his metaphorical left. I mean smalo shnon kol adam, the same left hand that everybody else has. Amra Abayaki tanya hi b'sholek b'shtei yadav. As Scott just pointed out, many lefties are called lefties are actually ambidextrous. So if he's sholek b'shtei yadayim, then he's still included in the general din of small. Tana Devei Menashe al yadcha. Yadcha refers to, believe it or not, even though it sort of sounds like you're supposed to put it on your hand, it's a reference to the bicep muscle, zukiboret. And Bein Einecha, believe it or not, even though it sounds like on your forehead, between your eyes, it's actually a reference to the kotkod. And the kotkod, where is that? Amar Devei Rebbeinu, the kotkod is the fontanelle. So it's the makom shemocho shel tinok rofez, where an infant who's not yet, approximately not yet 12 months old, is going to have a soft spot in the skull where the skull is still able to expand, and gradually that closes up.
That's very high up. And that, is that really where?
Yeah.
That we should be up that high?
It goes from the hairline through we're going to see that the Gemara says you put two tefillin on your head. There's enough room in that area between the hairline and the fontanelle spot to put on two pairs of tefillin. That's the Rashi Rabbeinu Tam excuse, for those who were
brothers. Do we expect that as the Qumrah of next month?
What do you mean? Plenty of people do that, no?
I've never seen anybody with
Mordechai.
Mordechai.
Mordechai Shanker. Mordechai
Shanker. Two at a time?
Two at a time.
Okay. Well, that's basically it. Yeah. Okay, so in any event, according to this, again, we don't know how we know this, but it certainly makes it easier to get out of a human mother that doesn't have a very wide birth canal. So the skull is still movable and it's still flexible. Boy, mean a flimo mi Rebbe. Now, flimo asked Rebbe if you have two heads. Mishi esh lo shnei rashim. Yeah. Which head would you put on tefillin? Would it be similar to the yadayim, where you use the left hand? Maybe you'd use the left head, or not.
But then on both sides.
Oh, we'll see. Oh, Marley. So Rebbe said to him, either get out of here, leave town, Kungale, or Kabela Lechashamta, or be Makabel on yourself, neither. So, as he was asking that question, in walks a man with a shayla, and he tells Rebbe, I just had a kid with two heads. So which head, how much do I have to pay to the coin? Do I pay per head? Atahusaba. So came in. Ahusaba, the Tosfos says elsewhere, Elio Anovi. And he said over a brayta that you have to pay per head, so you'll have to pay 10 slaim to the kohen. And of course, if you hold Eliyahu HaNavi, it was a kohen, you'd have to be chayshish to maybe.
And if he's a saba, then also, because they're always going to add a little.
Is this true, though? Amy? V'atani romi barchama mitoch shenema podot iftet b'chor ha'adam. Is this true, though? Didn't Rami Bar Chama say, if it says padot tiftet b'chor ha'adam, so you might think that means padot tiftet under any circumstances, afilo nitraf betok shloshim, even if, now Rashi learns nitraf means killed. B'toch Shloshim, which is very, very strange, because, I mean, this is not a case where he was killed. Killed, the case of killed, as Tosis points out, is where otherwise he would have lived, not where he's killed. So there, I might have thought that since there was no indication that he was in any way defective, but he got killed in a car accident or something, but otherwise would have lived, so you might think Podotiv Tev comes to be marba that, Talmud Lomar Ach Podotiv Tev. So, Kalak, that cuts it into, no, not everybody, but rather only someone who actually did live. So because of that, Tosus understands, Nitraf means literally Nitraf, became a trefa. And over here, having two heads, since the din is that ko yeter kechoser, if you got an extra head, you got no head. And it's very hard to live without a head.
Yeah, but two heads are better than one.
Oh, that's what they say, that two heads are better than one. And, as Tosus points out, this is the famous case of the Maisim of Shlomo HaMelech, where Ashmedai brought Shlomo, a guy with two heads, to determine how many chalakim he gets of the father's property when the father died, when he shared two portions with a brother or one portion with a brother. And Shlomo HaMelech did a beautiful experiment in which he covered one head, and so that it would be unaware and also not affected, poured hot water over the other, and they both yelled. So he said, so if they both yelled, it's obviously the same person, the same organism. This is not funny, because it actually occurs, I mean, reasonably often. I mean, you know, when you're talking about often, I mean, there's many, many cases. There's actually a Ben Ishchai actually brings a case from Baghdad on his Gemara, that he had a mice in Baghdad where the child was born with two heads, but didn't survive, died after 3 days. They would, but, I mean, as you know, I'm sure there's famous cases of surviving two-headed individuals, particularly those. They're all Siamese twins. Almost all. I'll talk about another case. There is another case. They're almost all Siamese twins that have only really completely bifurcated at the head. Generally, the rule is if they have two hearts, they survive.
Really?
Yeah, so they're, but they often don't. But they're these famous, amazing sisters. I'm sure you heard of them. I forgot their names. What's the name? Elsie, I think. Elsie, and you remember that? Beautiful. There's beautiful YouTube videos of them. They've actually learned, even though each head controls the opposite side of the body, but they've learned to ride bicycle together.
No, it's
much more than that. Balance is usually, by definition, a function of one brain.
Right.
It's unbelievable. It's a real trick to learn to ride a bike. It's basically two people. They're past their teenagers, I think, already, or they're in their later teens. So they've done beautifully, but they have two hearts and three lobes.
Three?
Lobes. In other words, they have three lung lobes, almost two complete lungs, so they get enough oxygen.
Where are they attached?
Only at the head. Everything else is internal. That's the point. So they're just a two-headed individual. For all intents and purposes, they're a two-headed individual. So then this is remarkable, because the Sabbath told him, this is unbelievable. Let's take a look at what he told him.
The two-headed person is a taref?
That's what we're talking about. That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara that it's not potter over here, because the Torah specifically said it's dafka legulgolet. So since it says hamesha shkalim legulgolet means per skull. Why does it say per skull? Why does it say per person? Must be because in this particular case, this is the way that those who learn that it's a shail of treifot, that in this particular case, it's dafka achiyev. And it's achiyev even though, according to Rashi, it literally died. Even if Lamaisa wouldn't survive, it would still be chayav before, which is very difficult to believe. What's more likely, now that it's clear what this is all about, what's more likely is that the Torah's gufa coming to be machadesh, that gulgolet in such cases considered to be two individuals. So that Lamaisa, if there's two separate nervous systems that are controlling two different things, it's not considered to be remarkably a trefa. It would be a viable organism, and you'd be chayef to pay per gulgolet. This we only know from that extra word, per gulgolet. It was unbelievable.
Now, when is the writing? When
is the... Each one only has one hand. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the question that the rabbi that got thrown out.
If what? That's the question. Why did he get thrown out?
Yeah.
So what was the mice?
Well, he got thrown out before the guy came in.
But why? I mean, why was Rebbe so quick on the draw to throw him out? Why is it a stupid question? It's a good question.
Maybe there's
all kinds of suggestions. One suggestion is, but that's what I'm saying, it's not the fact. One suggestion is that such a child will never survive. And therefore, even if the guy came just in support of Plimo, so to speak, but he would never make it to his bar mitzvah to worry about where to put his tefillin. Or, it's so not shliach. Why are you asking me a question something that's not shliach? Don't ask me why this is such an issue, because what is so terrible to say Rebbe had never heard of such a thought, it was insane. I mean, and then my guy came along and showed that it wasn't insane. What's that? I mean, everybody is all hung up about this question. So why did Rebbe get angry at him and so on? I guess they all, because Rebbe would have had every single shaila in the book thrown at him. Why wouldn't he have known? I mean, have these kind of things occur once in every 80,000 births. I mean, so why wouldn't he...
That's a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So there's whole animal farms.
Oh yes.
Of only two-headed animals. Yeah, they're freak shows, but they make a lot of money. All double-headed pigs, double-headed cats, double-headed cows, double-headed snakes. That's famous. Double-headed snakes, where one head tries to eat the other one all the time. They don't do very well.
Sibling rivalry.
Now, there are cases of actually mutated development, where it's literally an extra head that's not part of a twin development that stopped. And those don't survive, but they do get born. I mean, that's much, much more rare. So maybe that's what Rebbe knew about, and therefore the whole thing is a joke, because you'd never get to a stage of wearing tefillin. But anyway, the riot from Gogolet is astonishing, no? I mean, that's coming to time. Don't judge everything by its cover, you know? A two-headed person may be two people. Remarkable. Omarma, Yadcha Zo Kiboret. You said now, let's get back to that. It means Dafka the Bison. How do you know that? Why does it Yadcha mean your hand? The Tana Rabbanan is actually based on a braita. The Torah says that you put it Vayalacha Laot Ayadcha Lezikaron Beninecha. Ayadcha refers to Gova Shebiyad. It's the highest point on your arm. Now, according to this, highest point on your arm would be mashma the upper part of the bicep. Afta omer zogova shebiyad, o ena ela al yadcha mamash. Maybe it means on your hand, which is the way the tzedukim read it. Amra Torah, hanach tefillin bayad, vanach tefillin barosh. The Torah is said to put tefillin both on your hand and on your head. So just like on your head, it means the upper part of your head. Of course, we don't know how we know that yet, but we'll get to that. So just like on your head, it means the upper part of your head. Here too, when it says your arm, it means the upper part of your arm. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, you don't need to go through all of this agonizing. It's very straightforward. The Torah says, vayalecha le'ot ayadcha. It's supposed to be an oath for you. If it's for you, how can it be on your hand? You see, when it came to the Tefillin Shebarosh, there it says, V'ra'u kol ha'me'aretz asher Shem Hashem Elokecha nikra lecha. V'yaru, everybody sees it. But here, people don't see it. Now, if you were walking around with a tefillah on your hand, wouldn't they see it? Your hand isn't covered. Therefore, it's got to be in a place that usually will be covered, which is your upper arm. And it must be referring to that. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, all of that is also. What do you need on this? You guys, just read it. V'samtem et dvorai ela al levavchem ukshartem. What is the connection between your hearts and kishira? What does that have to do with Alevavchem? It's got to be that you're tying it in a place which is opposite the heart. If you put it on your hand, why is that opposite your heart? So what's the connection between the heart and the hand? It's got to be that it's on the part of the hand which is keneged halev. That's the idea. And Reb Chiya, brother of Avia, was careful to be mechabin umanach lalahavi libe, to be specifically in the area which was keneged his heart. Now, according to this, it would be the lower part of the Baisa, such as that the titura would come up to the lower part, not the upper part. A simple meaning, if your darshan get from Gova, it would mean the highest part. Now that, in fact, is about Chol Zaposkim, as you know, obviously. We pass when you go to the lower part of the bicep.
Lower and upper.
From the midpoint. No, not the arm, the muscle. Yes. The muscle's attached to the shoulder. So from the shoulder to your elbow, that's where that muscle stretches. From the midpoint of the bicep, or the lower is going down away from the height of
toward
the body.
Toward the elbow joint.
Right? And the upper would be towards the shoulder. That's actually a very good point, which we call upper and lower. In the hand, it's easy to see. In the mila, it's not easy to see. Because upper and lower we use towards the body and away from the body. Ravashi, havayatif kameda amemar. Now, Ravashi was sitting in front of Amemar and saw that Amemar had a wound on his hand, which had made him cut through his shirt so that he shouldn't keep rubbing against the wound on his arm. And you could see the tefillin through the cut. V'komit chazien tefillin, amalei, lo savar lamar l'chalot v'lo l'achirim la'ot. Doesn't Rebbe hold that you're not supposed to have your tefillin visible? And he told him that that's not a definitive halacha. That's just coming to tell you where the correct place is. Bimkum l'chala'ot. It's not saying it's usur to expose it. There's an inyan that it should be l'chala'ot. But as far as the definition is concerned, it's the place which is normally l'chala'ot, and therefore it's not beneath your elbow. Now, you said a davar poshet that it's gova shebarosh, it's got to be on the top of your head. How do you know that? I mean, it does say bein einecha, which again the tzedukim say means bein einecha, put it between your eyes. So how do you know it's the top? The Tanur Rabbanan. Bein einecha zo gova shebarosh. Says who? Atomer zo gova shebarosh. Maybe it means bein einecha mamash. Ne'emar kan bein einecha, ve'ne'emar la'alan lo tasimu karacha bein einechem. Now, the Torah says, do not put a bald spot between your eyes over a mate. It's one of the practices of the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. How in the world do you make a bald spot where there is no hair? So obviously, bein einecha means in the head that's above the eyes that people will see. So just like over there when it says bein einecha, it means clearly a makom where it would make a karacha, which has to be on the head. Afkan begova shel rosh makom shaseh karacha. So it would be nogea the hairline. That's the point. So where the original hairline, we are not referring to those whose hairline extends back to their neck. But the original hairline, between that original hairline and the fontanelle, that would be the place. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, you don't have to go that far. Eno tzarif. Amrat Torah, hanach tefilin bayad, hanach tefilin barosh. Okay? Now, in the yad, in the yad, there's only one simon of negayim, and that is the nigeor, which is the white hair that appears in the middle of the nega. So too, the karachat would have to be in a place which is entirely hairy, which would be a place that has the simon of the sahar tzahov instead of the sahar lavan. But in any event, a different kind of nega. But lafuke bene necha, where you've got two different areas. You have non-hairy area and a hairy area. Where over there you've got two different types of simonim. You have sar lavan in the skin area, and hairy areas require a sar tzov in order to be a simon of tumah. The eyebrows it's referring to. Yeah, this is a big problem because there's someone learned from the Mashmaut of Rashi that actually Sar Tzahov is Matame in the eyebrows, but the Torah says specifically Bekarachto Begabato, which is not, doesn't mean any hairy area is going to have the din of Karachto Begabato. Okay, Shaila, how far we call the Karachat and Gabachat forward. Arba Tzitziot Ma'akvot Zot Zosh Ba Arba Tan Mitzvachat. Next piece of the Mishnah describes the machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanakama regarding tzitzit. Now, lemaisa, if you have only sufficient string to make three tzitziot, so if you hold that they're all mitzvah chat, I mean, does it hurt to make the tzitziot? I mean, is there a practical nafkamina my benayu, where it would be nagea that if I follow one, I'm mamish, I'm not allowed to follow the other. On Rav Yosef, of course, there's very significant differences. For instance, suppose you have a sadin. A sadin, by definition, is made out of linen. We still call them linens today, right? Because of that. So linen, if you're going to put in tzitzit, is going to be shatnez. Because it's tzitzit to glut to chelet. Can you put in three tzitziot in a linen baguette? That's the question. If you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, yes, indeed, because the Torah told you to wear shatnez for tzitzit, and this is tzitzit. I only have three corners. What can you do? I'm doing my best. Good. That would be a big difference. According to the Tanakhama, you'd be wearing kilayim. There you go. Rabba Barayina Amar, if you've got talit balat chamesh ika binayu, if you have a talit with five corners, according to the shita that says that you follow each one as a separate mitzvah, so you'd be chayav on your five corners. It'd be a nafkamina if you're chayav or not. If you hold like the Mandi Amar who holds that your potter, unless it's a four-cornered baguette, so then all of them obviously would have to be interrelated as four corners. Others switch it and learn it out mamish backwards, but this is a poshut pshat. Another nafkamina would be Ravina Amar. The question of Shabbat would be a big difference between them. It's Ravuna Ikebinah. Adom Ravuna Yotzei B'talit She'ena Mitzuyetzet Ke'ilchata B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat. If you don't have a kosher tzitzit in your baguette, then if you carry it on Shabbat, you're going to be chayav. Because then we look at the tzitzit as being not part of the baguette, and because of that, you're simply carrying them around. And you'd be chayav chatas. That's a big difference. If you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, it's no problem. You're wearing three tzitziot. Go walking on Shabbat with your three tzitziot talit. But according to the Rabbanan, if you go for a walk on Shabbat with your talit, you're going to be chayav chatas because you're carrying your tzitzit. You're not wearing them. Omer of Shisha, Bereder of Edi, Haiman de Batsre, Leglime, Loavit, Veloklum. Because all you did, mentioning now the five tzitzit, if you now cut through your corner in order to make it a non-corner, and you think that way you're going to get away from putting on tzitzit, you didn't achieve anything, man. All you did was turn it into a talit of five corners. Because now you've got five pieces. And now, again, the question would be, of course, Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel, maybe B'chayev on an extra corner. Here he's saying, Lo'as of Eloklum, that could be according to Man Yomar who holds that you are chayev on the distant four corners, and you're not going to be migareya it just because there's five corners. There's a question over here how to understand that the pashtus in Rashi was mashma, that you went ahead and you cut it on a diagonal. And there, it's by no means clear that that's called a corner. The question is a corner 90 degrees? Most shitas hold that a corner is 90 degrees. And therefore, if you made a 45-degree diagonal cut, it would not be a baguette. So you have three corners. So they learn that it's talking about you make a cutout. You cut out the corner, but you cut it out like a dalet shape, like a gamma shape. So then you made five corners. Omra Misharja Haiman de Tsaire Leglime, Loavad Velo Klum. If you tied the corner up so that you didn't cut it, you didn't round it, you made it look round, by tying, you put a knot in it and pulled it up, connected it to the beged above, that's nothing. Because we know you're not going to leave it that way. Because if you really meant to leave it that way, you would have cut it. I mean, it's ridiculous to walk around with a lump. So it must be, therefore, that you're my time at Gekam on the Sharia dummy. It's as if you've already undone that knot, and I'll prove it to you. Because where would this be Nogea? Where you're making a water bottle out of skin, and you tie the bottom to hold the water. And the din is over there, it's not Makabel Tuma. The only guys who do stuff like that are Arabs. Any liquid containers made out of skin that are tied by making them into a knot, they're tahar. They're not makabel tuma because they're not a kli kibo. Chutz bishal arveim. I mean, that's the way the Arabs would actually do it. So that's meant to stay that way. Amar Rav Dimi Minardo, Haiman de chayte leglime. Now, this could be a different approach, which Rashi brings. Rav Tos apparently had a different girsa, where you folded up the beged. Let's say you were wearing a villain's coat, and then you come to a place, cloak, and then you come to a place where when you walked in, they went, and you decided it's time to fold that bottom piece up and turn it into a jacket. So that if you didn't cut it, then lo avad velo klum. The shaila is, where would you put on the tzitzit? Tosfos is bothered by this whole pshat, because if you were kafla and you actually sewed it, you would be chayav in the new place where the new corner is. All right, so again, it's a question whether it's repetitive or whether it's telling us this new din, lo avad velo klum. Because im ita lo lemiboyel, if you really didn't want it, then you should have cut it off. Lip circle of Shadi, obviously, if your name is Dr. Jekyll, now then you might actually want to be able to leap, take it in and take it out, depending on the time of the day or night. I don't think this has to do with the sugya. I mean, it has to do with the size of the beged. That's it. We're not holding by that yet. I don't know. We're getting there. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Alachak Rav Yishmol. But that isn't true. Velet Yochata Kavata. Ravina Havikalazel Abatre, the Mar Bar Rav Ashi, B'Shabbat of the Rivu. Ravina was walking behind Mar Bar Rav Ashi, and it was the Shabbos of the Regal. So many people were there that were coming. Shabbos of the Regal is the Shloshim Yom before, where you have the Shabbos HaGodol Shir and so on. And Ifsikarna Rechuta. And he didn't notice, but his tzitzis got caught on something, and they got ripped off. And there he was, walking down the street with a beged that wasn't properly mitzuyetzet, at least, according to Rabbanan, or arguably to Rabbi Shmuel. So he didn't tell him anything. Lo amar lo velo mi, he didn't tell him anything. This is a whole machloket, by the way. Are you supposed to tell him something? Big machloket is the Rosh and the Rambam about whether you tell someone where it would cause him embarrassment, or at least it's assumed to be a machloket. Question is on the issue of the, where it's not only a question of him doing it b'shogeg, but where is the mitasek? Well, over there he's not doing anything. That's the question. Whereas if you tell him, then perhaps since it's Shabbat, and the idea over there is that there's a tremendous difference between wearing and carrying, obviously. If he thinks he's wearing and he's actually carrying, then he's completely mitasek. There would be no issue with the Rambam and the Rosh. Because the Rambam and the Rosh is discussing a case of kilayim. The guy didn't know he had shatnez. Do you tell him you're wearing shatnez so he has to take off his clothes or not? Fine, but over here we're talking about Shabbat. There's a difference between the act, the malacha of carrying and wearing a your coat. So there, he's not doing anything wrong at all. What would be the point of telling him? As far as he's concerned, he's opening the door of the fridge. He's not turning on a light. Why in the world should you tell him, don't open the fridge, you're going to turn on a light? Who cares if he turns on the light?
Yeah, but he does, even though not b'mizid, but...
It's not, that's what I'm saying. It's not, it's a mitasek. Mitasek is not an act at all. Right? So there's, he's not...
He's patur or...
Not that he's patur. He didn't do anything. It's not that he's patur. There's no chatat, there's no shor, there's nothing. He didn't do the malakha.
If he knew, then he would have bring the korban.
If he would do it when he knew, then he was carrying. But like this, he's not carrying, he's wearing.
Just because he doesn't know.
Right. He's not carrying at all. He had no kavana for carrying. Okay, so over there, why tell him?
And if his kavana is for carrying, the issue of Shabbat, I saw that.
What do you mean? That's the malacha. The malacha is defined by your kavana, right?
I had years ago, a guy walked on Sukkot with his lula, and I didn't want to be, it was awkward. I couldn't wait to, do I tell? But he's going to walk into the Beit Knesset, and that's going to be even worse. So I thought, I told him that it's better that he be feel awkward just in front of one guy.
It's like the old zipper problem.
Yeah.
Let the guy go his whole day. Well, why would I make him feel uncomfortable? Yeah. Of course, would you feel bad at the end of the day when he commits suicide after his TV appearance? Or? Okay. Anyway. So, the question, he didn't tell him anything. When they got home, Kadmati Labete, he told him, you know, when you were walking by that spot, your tzitzis tore. So he said, well, if you would have told me there, I would have taken off my clothes. First of all, he's obviously saying here that he's paskening that it's considered to be carrying and not considered to be each one a separate mitzvah. So the three ones that would be left over would be left over as carrying, not like Rabbi Yishmael. Now some, including the Shita, change the idea here too, as opposed to Rashi, who says that tzitzit of Mar Bar Rav Ashi, he changes it to read the corner of the beged with the tzitzit, Now, in that case, it wouldn't be a four-cornered faggot. So then, according to nobody, there's the whole thing ripped. If the whole thing ripped and he doesn't have a corner there anymore, then, according to nobody, would it be a chiyuv. So then it wouldn't be negev. Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbana. So he wasn't paskin in keneged Rabbi Shimon. So he asked him, why would you have taken off your clothes? Wouldn't that have been embarrassing? And didn't we learn a Amar Mar, Gadol Kvod HaBiriyot Shedochet Lo Ta'aseh Shebat Torah? If the Torah says that a zaken she'enol does not have to return an aveda, because it would be inappropriate for him to be seen carrying around this woman's purse, whatever. So therefore, it must mean that the Torah views the kavod habriyot to be more important than the lo tuchal lehitaleh. So then why isn't it more important for you to continue to wear your clothes and walk through the street rather than taking them off? So he said, Nana, Tirgama, Rav Bar Shvak, Amir of Kahana, that doesn't mean a lav dioraita in the literal sense. It means the lav dioraita of lo tasur, meaning that if the Rabbanan extended the issur so that you're carrying, let's say, in a carmelite, then that would have been true. But that's not the case over here in this version. So lo tasur, that's the lav that he's referring to, meaning listen to the Rabbanan. The ikari amri, others say this story was exactly the opposite. He told him right there and then, Omale, yeah, big mouth, what are you telling me for? My date, why are you telling me? Because you want me to throw off my clothes. So you're telling me, Lemishdai, I should take off my clothes. Why would I take off my clothes anyway? Ah, because of Tirgama Rabba Shrak Mirvkana, Balav the Lot Tasur. So you still have to take off your clothes. No, Arkanami Karmali Durabanani. We're not in a real Rishat HaRabim. We're in a Carmelite. So you lose on all counts.
So again, not necessarily, because maybe he actually would have been upset. I shouldn't have known. You shouldn't have told me. I shouldn't have known. But there's another issue over here.
The other issue being, what about the fact that he's walking around with a beged without tzitzit? Isn't that a problem? Right now, here is the clear indication that there is no isur in wearing a beged without tzitzit. There's just a mitzvah to put in the tzitzit. If it's Shabbat, how am I supposed to put in tzitzit? So if I can't put in the tzitzit, I'm not mechuyev to take off my beged because I can't be behind the mitzvah tzitzit. So therefore, you're saying don't wear the beged. Whoever heard such a thing? Andran Allah HaKomets! Tana Rabbanu Yatcha Zor Smol. Ata Omer Smol. Maybe it means you mean. Talmud Lomar Af Yadi Yasta Aretz V'yemini Tivcha Shamayim. The Omer Yada Liyatet Tishlachna V'yemina Lalmot Amelim. The Omer Lama Tashiv Yadcha V'yeminecha Mikerev Chekech HaChalei. Rabbi Yossi HaChorem Omer, or HaCharum, if you want, like Rashi Omer, Matzinu Yemin Shenikra Yad Shem Avayar Yosef Ki Yashita Viv Yad Yemino. We don't know. Yad Yimino. Yad Yimino Yikri. Yad Stoma Lo Yikri. Rabbi Natan Omer Eino Tzarich. Harei Omer Kshar Tam Uchtav Tam Mak Tiva B'Yamin Af Kshira B'Yamin. And if Kshira is B'Yamin, then obviously Anacha is B'Smoli. Rabbi Yossi Achorem Anacha de B'Smoli Nola. If he can't learn it out from Yadcha, he can learn it out from here. Nafka L'Mech and Nafka L'Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Ashi Omer can learn it out from Yadcha with a hey. And that means Keha. Omele Ravabel Ravashi, maybe it means koach. How do you know it means keah? Omele, you don't know the difference between a chet and a hey? Mi'ktiv b'chet? Ketanai. Yadcha behei is reference to small. Acherim amrim yadcha is reference to a broken hand, l'rabot tagidev. Tan yidach in lo zeroa patur menat filin. Acherim amrim, if there's a stump, then yadcha l'zerabit, rabot tagidev. Tana Rabbanan iter meniach tefillin b'yemino shehu simolo. V'yotanya meniach b'smolo shehu simolo shehu kolata. Om Rabbi Kitanya hi b'sholoit b'shteyadav. Tana de b'yemina ashe, ayatcha zo kiboret. B'yneinecha zo katkod. What is the katkod echa? Amidavei Rabbiane makob shemocho shel tinok rofes. And that is, as Rashi says, Katan ben Shana, which means Bedavka, not yet at his first birthday. Boy, mi rei flimo mi rabbi. Mi she yesh lo shnei roshim. Bezim em eni etz vilim. I'm like, either get the heck out of here. Or kabel alecha shamda. But this is different. Because over here, the Gugolet, Tala Rachmana. It says, Beferish Chameshet Shkalim La Gugolet. Omar, Yadacha Zoki Boret. Minolan, Tana Rabbanon, Ayatcha Zogove Shebiyad. Atome Zogove Shebiyad, Inela Yatcha Mamash. Amra Torah, Anach Tefilim Beyad, Anach Tefilim Barosh. Mala Alan Begove Sheberosh, Avkan Begove Shebiyad. Rebeliezer Menot Zorich, Hare Omer, Vihaya Lechalot, Lechalot, Velo Lacherim Lot. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Enot Zorich, Hare Omer, Vesamtem Et Varahela, Alev Avchem, Ukshatan. Shetei Sima Keneged Alev, Rabbi Chiyav Ravak, Rabbi Rav Avya, Mechavein, Umeiniach Leilahari Libe. Rabbi Asha, Abiyat of Kameda Amema, Habitzai Arei Biyade, Vekomit Chazian Tefilin, Omar Le, Lo Sova Lomar, Lechalot, Velo Lacherim Lot. Amalei, that just means b'makom lechalot itma. Gova sheberosh minolan. The Tana Rabbana ben einecha zo gova sheberosh. Ata omer zo gova sheberosh. Oine ela ben einecha mamash. Nemar kan ben einecha v'nemar lahan lo tasimu korcha ben einechem lamit. Ma lahan begova sheberosh. By definition, it's got to be a makom. Sheose karacha afkan begova sheberosh. Makom sheose karacha. Rebbe Yudah Berino tzarich. Amra Torah, Hanach Tefillin Bayad, Hanach Tefillin Marosh, Mal Alan B'Makom Ha-Ra'ui L'Tamei B'Nega Achad, Afkan B'Makom Ha-Ra'ui L'Tamei B'Nega Achad, Lafuki B'Ninecha, Di'ika, both Basar V'Se'ar, in which case you have two different Negoim, Sar Lavan, Sar Tzahor. Arba Tzitziot Ma'akvot Zohat Zoh, She'arba Atan Mitzvah Achad, Ma'i B'Nayu? Om Rav Yosef Sadin Betzitzitik Benayo. Rav Barin Omer Talit Balat Chameshik Benayo. Ravina Omer Ravunik Benayo. Om Ravuna Hayotse Betalit She'ina Metzuyetzet Kiyol Chata B'Shabbat. Chayav Chatat. Om Rav Shishi Bered Ravidi. Hay Mand Batzer Liglimei. Lo Abid Velo Klum. All he managed to do was Shavya Talit Balat Chamesh. Om Rav Mishash. Hay Mand Tzayre Liglimei. Lo Abid Velo Klum. My time at the command of Sharia Dami, as we see in the Mishnah. The Tvitnanami, Kol Hamatot Atzrurot, Torot, Chutz Bishal Arviim. Omrev Dimi Minardo, Haiman de Chaiti Leglimi Loavad Volklum, Im Ita Dolomi Boile, Livsek Velashadia. Rebishmal Arba, Tan Arba Mitzvot, Omrev Yiram Shmuel, Halachak Rebishmal, Velat Yochatagavate. Rebina, because of Abatu Dimarba Ravash Bishabata de Regla, If Sikarna de Chuta Velona Levelomine, Kanmat Elebete, Omrev. Well, way back there, it was Ipsik. I'm like, well, if you would have told me there, I would have taken off my clothes. Why? Oma mar golo kovet abriyo shidogo lo tasesha batorah, tirgam arav barashvah kamendu rafkana, balav de lo tasur. Yigidame mehata. He told him there, Omar Lei. Omar Lei, why are you telling me? May da'atcha lemishdaya. Oma mar gadol kovet abriyot shidoget lo tasesha batorah. This is the Lav Dolot Asur, because we're in a Karmelit Rabbanan.